Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 15 October 2024, Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Let us compose our mind, develop the Saddha Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Yao Si Fo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Di Shang Wang Pusa, Namo Di Shang Wang Pusa, Namo Di Shang Wang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipano Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami Usavada Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. We are chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda guno petang เอตังกุสุมาสันตาทินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสโรโรเหปูเจมิบตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนาเจโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายัตติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริคาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตเถมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริคาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตเถมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโภชานังปริคาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตเถมัง Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings.Significance offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance offering of water. May this offering of pure clear water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma.That cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind.Of the impermanence, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu.Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Badang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of inner awareness within. So remember the four support, so that it can help you build up your awareness within. The four support are very conducive for developing this inner awareness. First is to relax body and mind completely. When you are able to relax body and mind, you don't think, your mind is peaceful. it is in a state of like composed calmness. Because with the faith, and you can relax, the mind will settle down and become very quiet. Then no more thinking. Your main purpose and intent is just to relax whatever tightness, tension or stress within that you can feel within your form and mind. Just relax into it and feel it soothingly relax so that your whole body and mind is at peace with clarity without thought. Then after that, maintain awareness. Maintaining awareness is very useful, very important. Means whatever arises within your form and mind upon contact of consciousness and the sense data with your sense basis, whatever arises, away. Well, what arises is normally the respective sense door consciousness. Then how the movement from your thought process they manifest. So this movement normally comes from your memories that accumulated your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system. So all this condition you to perceive things the way you want it to perceive based on your delusion or lack of understanding most of the time, because before one become enlightened, there is no wisdom to attend to all this. So due to avijja, ignorance, self-delusion, you continue to stir your mind to react to sense experience. That's why awareness-based meditation is to develop the inner awareness, the relaxed, silent inner awareness to observe what is going on, to see through this manifestation how you become what you are, how you stir your mind and become emotional, sometimes out of anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, and also because of jealousy, hatred, emotional negativity. These are the mind state that always arise and pass away. It will oscillate between the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And these are the duality of mind, conditioned by your sacrality or self-delusion. We are attachment, craving and clinging, because one cannot understand what is going on. Then when one deludedly grasps and clings to the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking it is what you are and it is real. That's why suffering will be the result. And under the second noble truth, the cause of arising of suffering, the Buddha says, is sakayaditi, that condition your craving, that condition one to grasp and cling and hold on to things, thinking that it is a permanent, unchanging entity that they can cling on to, grasp on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So that sakayaditi is very powerful, self-delusion. So awareness-based meditation is to silence the mind, to have the awareness to be able to like develop the wisdom to understand that this is delusion. Because when the awareness is aware, you will be able to realize that all these are dependent originating mind state, not intrinsic within your nature. If it's not intrinsic within your nature, then how can it be you? Anger is never you. Fear is never you. Even whatever craving is never you. They are mind states that manifest born of your self-delusion, your deluded thought. So all this, you will start to silently within your inner awareness, awaken to it, and realize that they are all dependent originating mind state, condition arising, cause of phenomena. When causes and conditions are there, they manifest. Then when causes and conditions cease to be, they cease to be. They come and they go. That's why they have the unique characteristics of impermanent anicchang, leading to suffering when you want things your way, which is not nature's way. And finally, because it's anicchang, it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, cling onto, hold onto, and say, this is I, this is me, and all this can be mine. That is a delusion. Then you wake up. Then you realize everything that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. They are all dependent originating phenomena, causal phenomena. It is not a permanent unchanging entity that was already there all this while, no. All these are condition arising phenomena. That's why it's called condition world. So when you silence your mind, relax, maintain awareness, you can observe all this and develop the awakening and understanding. When you can silently observe to see things as they are, you understand. Or to insight into the phenomena, the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta, you also awaken. Then the silent observation of what is the reality will give you wisdom and let you understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, and how you manifest to become what you are. Okay, with this, I will let you meditate on your own. Remember the four support: relax, maintain awareness, stabilize awareness. Then the last one is trust. Trust your nature to develop the inner movement, inner activity. Yeah. Let it do what it wants to do without the interference from the mundane mind or thinking mind. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own, then I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Yeah. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Trying to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas in this universe, in the entirety. Let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalesu Atraha Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Usakamokkhadang Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ samma sambuddho Vijjācārana sampanno sugato lokavid Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati Svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehi paseko opanayiko Pachyatang veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chatari purisayukani atta purisapugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo anuttaram punyam khetam lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then we shall continue from where we stopped. We are at page 643. Okay, analogy of giving out the great cards to the children impartially. The first part is affirming the teaching of this chapter. Then second part is explaining the level of the cards, followed by explaining the impartiality of the mind. Okay, affirming the teaching. So the sutta says, Sariputta, at that time the elder, without being impartial or without partiality, gives to each of these children a great card. Sariputta here is the eldest disciple of Sakyamuni Buddha. Then Sariputta was called out by Sakyamuni Buddha, and Sakyamuni Buddha continued, is it? At that time, the elder, which was the Buddha himself, without partiality, gives to each of his children a great card, meaning the children were asking the elders for their cards. The elders represent the Buddha, and the children represent all living beings. Because all living beings are equal, he regarded them as his children. So all living beings are equal according to the Buddha. Their minds are equal. This analogy means that all living beings have the Buddha nature and can all become Buddhas. Since their Buddha nature is the same, they are all the Buddha's children. The Buddha does not favor anyone in particular, but treats all living beings equally. Being extremely compassionate towards all living beings, he offered everyone a great card. The equal giving of the great card signifies that the great vehicle Buddha Dharma is equal and non-discriminatory. Hence, it is said that all Dhammas are the Buddha Dharma. This is the Mahayana teaching, the great vehicle Dhamma, which is the ultimate Buddha Dharma. It is difficult, or sorry, it is different from the other three provisional Dhammas that preceded it. So these provisional Dhammas are still subtle, wonderful, and inconceivable, for they were set forth for the sake of the ultimate, and essentially share the same nature. Thus, the Buddha offers all living beings the great vehicle, Buddha Dharma. Every living being is offered a great card, although the Buddha represents them all with the same wonderful principles of the great vehicle, Buddha Dharma. We should realize that in the distant past, they each have their own habits and their particular emphasis in study and practices. What were their past practices? For example, in the past, those of the lesser vehicle, they just cultivate the Four Noble Truths, which is the essential of the basic Dhamma. So the first Noble Truth is the Noble Truth of Dukkha, of suffering. Then the second Noble Truth is the cause of arising of Dukkha. But here in Mahayana, they call it accumulation or aggregation of suffering. That's why they summarize the Four Noble Truths as Ku Ji Mie Dao. So Ku is suffering, same as the Theravada tradition's summary. Then, cause of arising of suffering according to Theravada tradition, which is Samudaya, they translate it as accumulation, qi. Indirectly, it's the same. When you accumulate, you develop suffering. Well, accumulation is attachment, clinging, grasping, holding on to things. That's why as you accumulate, you create suffering. So the meaning is the same. Yeah. So for those who understand, they will see clearly, although different words have been used. But for the purpose of the teaching, the actual word is samudaya. That's why Patija Samudaya, the law of dependent origination. So the cause of arising is following this dependent origination theory. Dependent on ignorance arises sankhara activity. Then dependent on this sankhara, then it trigger of manifestation of consciousness. Sankhara pachaya vijnanam. Then the whole thing moves, the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada. So here, under the Theravada tradition, they call it the cause of arising of suffering. Because in order to make cultivator understand, or living being understand, if you explain to the normal use of the word, the cause of arising of dukkha, then people pay attention because you want to know how dukkha comes to be. So the cause arising of dukkha is following this law of dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada. And when you have the mindfulness to see clearly, you will be able to see that it originated from Sakkaya Ditti, that condition wants to grasp, cling and hold, resulting in craving. That's why they always say craving is the cause of suffering, or tanha, craving is the cause of suffering. Yeah. So tanha, craving, is desire, grasping, clinging. That's why when you desire, grasp and cling, you actually start to accumulate things where you deludedly believe you exist, you are real. You have an entity, an ego, a personality. Then from there, You want to own thing, have thing, possess thing, and want things your way. These are all craving, desire, and these are the cause of suffering. Also, you start to accumulate when you have craving, not knowing that everything is just the way it is. They are all impermanent. When you grasp and cling, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, cling onto, hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I, and all this can be mine. So because of that, the delusion actually arises and entangles itself. Yeah. In reality, everything just arises and passes away, following nature's condition and manifestation. Or we call it the Pancha Niyamas that governs all of life and existence. So when you can see it clearly, then you can see the cause behind its arising. Craving born of Sakkayaditi. Without Sakkayaditi, there is no entity to crave, to cling, to grasp, to hold on to things, to deludedly grasp on to things. So this second noble truth, under Mahayana tradition, they use another word, accumulation. That's why here, in the commentaries by Xuanhua, they use the word aggregation of suffering, means accumulation of suffering. Yeah. So no different. When you accumulate, you actually develop Sakkayaditi to cling, to grasp, to accumulate. Yeah. Because when you want things, you accumulate. When you crave for things, when you desire, possessive, you actually accumulate. Yeah. Then the third noble truth is the cessation of suffering, where the third noble truth explains clearly to the cultivator of way that suffering need not be. Cessation of suffering is possible when you completely liberate your mind from that delusion or ignorance. When you are no longer deluded and develop the Sakkayaditi, then you will not cling, you will not hold. Then you will understand that everything is just the way it is. No reality, not what you think. Empty nature existence. The empty nature existence is very important. When everything is understood, there is no more Sakkayaditi. There is no more clinging and grasping and holding on to things. Then the cultivator of the way, which is the form and mind that go through the cultivation, will realize that delusion, then free the mind and liberate the mind from being entangled. And that liberation will cause the mundane mind to realize itself and cease. And when that one sees, everything sees. That's how, from the phenomenal world of consciousness, you return all of external phenomena back to consciousness, or what they call the mundane mind. Then from the mundane mind, you cease it through that wisdom that you realize. Then it returns to the pure awareness nature. Then while that wisdom become very stable, then the pure awareness nature also will cease. That's how cessation of form and mind, Nibbana, can be realized. And when one realizes Nibbana, actually there is nobody to realize Nibbana, is the mundane mind realize itself and cease, then the pure awareness nature, everything cease. Yeah. And that's how it returns to the source, or the Buddha nature, or your true nature within. And that nature is just a nature, it's not you, and it's unconditioned. When the form and mind realize itself and cease and go through that so-called Nibbana, But that one is not a condition, state or entity. That one you cannot talk about, you cannot describe. Well, there is no word, nothing inside that. It's just like the candle, the light. You blow it off, the light ceases. You cannot say that the candle dies, or the candle flame die. No, it's just candle and the flame and the wick, and even the oxygen that responsible for supporting its manifestation into a candlelight. They are all dependent originating condition that manifest. But when you blow it off, the condition cease to be. What happened? Everything ends, cease. Yeah. So when the form and mind realize itself is cease, means the form and mind, like the flame, which is dependent originating, completely cease. Then when it cease, what happened? There is nothing. That's why you cannot talk about that nature or describe about that nature. The only way to understand that nature is when you are still alive with the form and mind, karmically conditioned out for you to arise in this existential world. You must develop the ability to meditate, to realize the pure awareness nature, stabilize it, and then while you are conscious, alive, you can be aware within. Then without the mundane mind, the pure awareness nature, they will manifest. Where they were there all the time, they were the primordial before the arising of the thought process, the mundane thinking, mundane aggregates of mind, the mundane mind. The mundane mind is dependent originating from there, condition arising, cause of phenomena. So what happened is the pure awareness nature gives you that shell or receptacle, the pure awareness. But then as a human being, we got the ego, and when we perceive something, we shrink the pure awareness to a small space where we try to perceive. Then we input the content of consciousness, and this content of consciousness together, the pure awareness, trigger of the thought process, thinking, the mundane thinking, mundane activity, mundane movement, emotion, everything. That's why it's all dependent originating condition arising entity. And when you know how to meditate, you know how to develop the stability of the pure awareness nature, you relax, maintain awareness, stabilize it, then trust that nature and allow that nature to move. And then that awareness will detect the gateway and go in and transform itself. And that movement has nothing to do with the directed thought process. There is no interference for anything. It's just that nature moving. So that trust means the form and mind do not interfere. It's just trust that nature's activity and movement. Only through trust you can penetrate and realize what is inside. Then after that, from there, when you continue to develop the understanding and progress, you become different. Then finally, when you go through that cessation of form and mind, then you realize the so-called Nibbana, which is the complete cessation. Then when your form and mind means the residual, they call arahant with residual, means it's not time for you to parinibbana and cease completely. Then that aggregates of mind can come out from the nature again. That's how those who go through the cessation, depending on the condition behind, how long, but you cannot decide. That nature decides itself. Then when it's time for it to come out, the being, the form and mind that go through that cessation will understand what that thing is. and you will understand the four circle formation, how from the pure awareness, which is the second circle, the mundane mind can arise, manifest. Then how the mundane mind condition and manifest the phenomenal world of consciousness. Then the reverse process, when you go through the cessation again, you will understand. Then you will know what that thing is. That's why I say it's a pure awareness nature. It's a nature, it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, cling onto, and hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I. Then you deludedly believe this is like certain religion. This is the ultimate self, or super self, or Atman, and all these things. No, it's just that nature. Then that nature can cease. Yeah. So all this understanding, only those who go the supreme vehicle way can develop the understanding of what this thing is. Okay? Then after that, the fourth noble truth, they call it the path. Ku ji mie, mie is cessation of dukkha. Tao is the path. See, dukkha, samudaya, nirodha, cessation, and maga. Maga is the path. That's why noble eightfold path. I think noble is Arya. Arya. Eight is Atangalika, or what I forgot already. Maga. So that noble eightfold path, you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So the lesser vehicle or the sound hearer, they only cultivate the four noble truth and its three turning. Then after that, he said, the Pachika Buddha, they studied the Dhamma of the 12 links of dependent originating or dependent arising. So here is the 12 link, mentioned in English. Ignorance, which is the condition for volitional activity. Actually, the English translation is not clear. you can say which is the condition for volitional activity, but the meaning is not clear to the cultivator of the way. Because the Pali word is very clear, avijja paccaya sankhara. So dependent on ignorant, it conditions sankhara activity. That one is a better, clearer translation. So dependent on this avijja, it manifests or condition what they call sankhara activity. So avijja means ignorant, ignorant of the truth, of the reality. So when you don't understand, you want to develop the understanding, what happens is, you will go and think. One thing to know, one thing to experience, you think. So when you think, you go to the brain, the memory. You make contact with the brain. Yeah. So the brain is the accumulated memory. Your both wholesome and unwholesome memory. So this accumulation of experiences while you go through life. So that thing that you accumulate in the brain, is actually your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, your scars of memory, whatever. Your happy moments and unhappy moments. So whatever you accumulate, experiences, good or bad, you accumulate them there. Where that is the basis of knowledge. This is what knowledge is. Whatever you accumulate becomes your knowledge. Then from this knowledge, you try to live life. You try to act from there. So they say, dependent on ignorance, you will go there and look for answer. That's how you make contact with the brain. And upon contact, what happened? Yeah? The consciousness come to be. Yeah. But at the same time, your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, which is there, this one will be triggered. That's why the first two links is, dependent on avijja, you create what we call, they call it volitional action or activity, is because they translate that sankhara as volition, mental volition, means your last thought moment. No, that sankhara is actually everything that your mind can do. Whatever you want to know or want to develop as a knowing come from sankhara. Sankhara is perception. Sankhara is memory, views, opinion, conditioning, beliefs, everything that I described just now. That's why sankhara got 52 mind state. All of your mental intention, planning, scheming, mental volition, whatever your mind can do, that is sankhara. So dependent on ignorance, you will create sankhara activity through memory. Yeah. Then memory is also one of the organs within our physical body. So like the physics experiment, when there is contact, the light bulb lights up. So at the same time, it also creates what we call consciousness, mind consciousness, or thought consciousness. So that thought consciousness, depending on which sense basis we are in, the other five, where this thought consciousness is a common denominator, where this is the mundane mind that can trigger thought consciousness. And thought, as you all know, it can be independent as itself with the thought process, thought consciousness. Then it can also be at the moment of seeing, seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. So this six sense has its respective six type of sense door consciousness. Then you input the content, it becomes the five aggregate form and mind, the thought, the second aspect of the five aggregate form. That's why here under the Paticca Samuppada, I will read it through quickly. Yeah? Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam. So the second one is sankhara paccaya vijnanam. Vijnanam is the consciousness, the pure consciousness. At the thought level, it is called the thought consciousness. Like the Buddha say, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. Only that consciousness arises, like the physics experiment, naturally lighting up, manifesting. The content hasn't gone in yet. That's why that one is the pure consciousness. Then after that, number three, vijnanam paccaya namarupa. Namarupa is the form of mind. But here, they call it the embryonic stage. Means the translator themselves also think that the dwelling is based on the commentary's three period of time. They believe that the second link is mental volition. Means your last thought moment, which has avijja, it will condition rebirth consciousness. Then the rebirth consciousness will condition the embryonic form and mind. Yeah. This one is following the commentary, not correct. So what happened is, at the Paticca Samuppada level that the Buddha taught, it is every moment, every instant, it manifests within the form and mind of living being. So vijnanam paccaya namarupa is when the content of consciousness go in, then the thought arise, the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why it has moral and immoral quality inside there. So when Namarupa is there, the Buddha said, dependent on this form and mind, or the Namarupa that arise, there must be sense basis. Otherwise, it cannot arise. That's why here, under the Pali word, Namarupa Pachya Paks, sorry, not Paksa, Salayatana. Salayatana is the sense basis. Then Salayatana, which is the sixth sense basis, or they call it the faculty here, Pachya Paksa, or what they call contact. So here they call it sensory contact, which is also correct. Where it's at the senses. So pasat, which is contact, will condition what we call feeling. So feeling is vedana. Pasat pachya vedana. Here they use the word sense perception, which is wrong. It is supposed to be vedana, feeling, sensory feeling. Then sensory feeling, or what we call vijnanam, vedana pachya tanha. So vedana pachya tanha is feeling, condition, craving. Then dependent on craving, condition, grasping, means tanha pachya upadhan, upadana or upadhan. Upadana, then condition, jati or becoming. Then jati pachya, bhava, becoming is bhava, bhava is becoming. Then becoming, bhava pachya jati, jati is birth. So here, grasping, condition, becoming, that becoming is not becoming like what we call, like you become something, you manifest into something. Here becoming is your, what they call, emotion become that thing. Like grasping, condition, what they call very intense craving is grasping. It will condition becoming, means you become that lustful nature that want to rape people or want to attack people or want to do something already. So you become, means transgression already. You have actually become that thing. It wants to come out already. It wants to develop the transgression, which is birth. So bhava pachya jati, jati birth means you are born into that rapist that do the act. Then after that, jati will condition the whole mass of suffering. Because of birth, it arises the whole mass of suffering. That's why all is sickness and death. And all the whole mass of suffering, you look at the Pali, it's a very long Pali description, until sorrow, lamentation, everything. So that is the Paticca-samuppada, where the Paccheka Buddha, they awaken to, when there is no sasana, when the Buddha sasana is not around, where there is nobody able to teach them the Four Noble Truths. Because this Four Noble Truths, although it was already existing, in existence, but if you are not a Sammasambuddha, it's very difficult to realize the Four Noble Truths. But this Four Noble Truths is actually the final essence of the Buddha's teaching, the final summary or essence of his teaching. So after he has perfected himself and realized all this, then he come out with the Four Noble Truths to summarize all of life into just Four Noble Truths. which I call it the secret of life, where all of life has been summarized there. And it covers not only the mundane, it also includes the supramundane, beyond the mundane. So all of life, both the mundane and supramundane, they are covered under the Four Noble Truths. That's why these Four Noble Truths are very rare and very difficult to comprehend unless you are a Samasa Buddha. But this is his final summary. That's why most Pachika Buddha, they cannot realize that unless they have heard it from the Buddha or a great being. And this is the reason why the first two vehicles, the sound hearer and the Pachika Buddha, they learn through the Four Noble Truths and the Patthisamuppada. Four Noble Truths is when the sasana is there. That's why when the sasana is there, when the great being arises, then the world is full of enlightened being, especially the lesser vehicle, where the provisional sainthood way teaching can be easily taught. Then after that, they continue to go the higher cultivation to develop the Bodhisattva way. And for the Pachika Buddha, when there is no sasana, they realize it first. Then they develop the understanding, the wisdom, the parami. Then they also continue with their cultivation. Unless they don't have the condition to go and develop it to realize the Bodhisattva way to continue. But most of them will have the condition, because even as a Pachika Buddha, what happened is they will realize the truth, but it may not be the Arahantaship. So normally it's the first stage or second stage of sainthood. Then depending on whether they are in the first stage of sainthood, then they pass away, parinibbana. Then when they come back, because there is another phase. After you realize sotapanasi, the first stage of sainthood, then there is maximum seven births in the what they call sanctuary. You will come back to the sanctuary, they call it the Kamaloka, K-A-M-A, no R, Kamaloka, the sanctuary. So you come back for seven times maximum. Very likely within this seven, you will also meet up with great beings or what. Because for you to come back, you normally have the parami to be born during the sasana. That's where you can meet a lot of great beings and beautiful cultivators. Even Samasambuddha, if you know how to develop the affinity and make the aspiration. So these are the what they call explanation of how the provisional teachings come about. Then after that, they will have the Bodhisattva way. So the Bodhisattva ways, cultivating the Bodhisattva way, that one is leading to the cultivation of Samasambuddhahood. So that one is the supreme vehicle teaching actually. But that one take a long time. That's why before they really progress and advance until the period where Samasambuddha come and teach this wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Yeah, this is the supreme vehicle teaching. By the time they have the opportunity to hear it, means the Samasambuddha has arisen. Then those who have the affinity and the condition, they can receive this teaching, like Sariputta and many of them. And at the same time, they also receive a lot of prediction for them, for many of them to become Samasambuddha too. So this is how all this can be done. Then I continue to explain further. Huh? Then other practice, the six perfection of paramita, also known as the six paramitas. So this one is also bodhisattva way, but instead of the ten perfection, they only focus on six. That's why Mahayana stress on this six. So the first one is the same, dana parami, perfection of dana. Second one, upholding of precept or the sila parami is the same. Then patient kanti is the same. Then virya, virya is there's a Pali word for it. Is also the same, but here the fifth and the sixth is different. Here the fifth, they call it dhyan. Dhyan is the cultivation of samadhi, the various type of samadhi, dhyan. So this one is not really stated in the what they call Theravada tradition, because the ten perfection doesn't include this. But the last one, prajna, wisdom, that one is actually cover the rest of the perfection. Therefore, for you to develop the perfection of wisdom, which is the prajna paramita, perfection of wisdom. So that one actually covers the rest. That's why they only use six. When their practice are collectively referred to as the truth, the ling and the perfection, a simple way of reference to the Four Noble Truths, the dwelling of dependent origination and the six paramita. So this is based on Xuanhua's commentary. But the Theravada tradition is, after the sainthood way, the Buddha mentioned he himself went through the Bodhisattva way by perfecting the ten perfection. But in the Theravada tradition teaching, it is silent on how he cultivated. He only summarized that he has to complete it by fulfilling the full perfection of the ten paramita, and that take him a long time, and he go the wisdom way. In fact, his one 3¾ asaṅkhaya kappas, or almost 4 full cycle, is considered one of the shortest. Whereas if you take the fate, it will take 12 full cycle, like Amitabha Buddha. Then if you go to the virya, it will take about approximately eight asaṅkhaya kappas or whole cycle. So all these are mentioned in the Theravada tradition. And I read on. There were also the practices of kindness, compassion, joy and equanimity. This one is the four Brahma Vihara. There were many other practices, including those that focus on the phenomena of form and the phenomena of mind, intractable phenomena and intractable phenomena and tractable phenomena, circumstantial reward and primary reward, the phenomena and the mnemonal, the cause and effect, etc. So these are the description of the Mahayana tradition. There were practice of self-cultivation and practices directed at others. Then some practice were based on understanding and others on delusion. Then practice based on understanding lead to liberation, while deluded practice lead to confusion or heedless living. When confused, one become muddled, and they like to use the word upside down, tian tao. There are so many kinds of methods of practice, including great practice and small practice. There is the practice of cultivating virtuous behavior, and the practice of cultivation of wisdom. Actually, these are the two most important cultivation. They call it virtue and wisdom. Fu zu hui zu. Fu ye yan man le. Hui ye yan man le. What is the practice and cultivation of virtue? Oh, I read it exactly. What is the practice of cultivating virtue or virtuous behavior? It means that in all situations, one puts them before oneself and never take advantage of others. One wish to benefit others and not just oneself. One always help others, but never ask for their help. After you have helped others long enough, you will naturally obtain blessings. There are some people who have no blessing at all. Whenever they get a little money, they will either fall sick or encounter some other misfortune. That indicates that they do not have any blessing. Why don't they have any blessing? They have not done enough good deeds or wholesomeness. Cultivating virtuous behavior is not just about helping others. It encompasses not obstructing others and not causing others to be upset with you. In practice, do not cause anyone to be displeased with you. In principle, do not even have a thought of obstructing others. If you obstruct others, you will diminish your blessing. Diminishing blessings is equivalent to giving away your blessing. You may argue, but isn't that practicing giving? Yes, it is giving. However, if you give away your blessing like that, no one actually receives your gift and no one benefits from it. For example, you diminish your blessing by slamming the door when you enter and leave the hall. Where others are meditating, studying sutta, or doing other type of work, you cause the hearts of the meditator to jump, preventing them from entering samadhi, you have just diminished your blessing. Or if the sound scatters the concentration of those absorbed in studying the Buddha Dharma or translating the sutta, you have just diminished your blessings. In general, anything that gets in others' way and make them unhappy will diminish your blessings. So here, maybe I need to explain a bit. This is the commentary by Xuan Hua, his understanding and his way of sharing or giving the example. But based on my nature's understanding, virtue and blessing has to go together. Like I always explain, without wisdom, there is no true virtue. You must cultivate the understanding and the wisdom until you have reached very stable and credible level, or what we call penetrative understanding. Then when you have wisdom, you automatically develop virtue, because the one that has wisdom cannot do wrong thing. Everything they manifest is virtue. Well, virtue are your very, very exceptional qualities or wholesome qualities that result in perfect action, speech and thought process. And the way you live your life is all following Noble Eightfold Path. Very, very virtuous. Yeah? And you are very noble in all aspects of your life. That's why without the wisdom, virtue, true virtue cannot manifest. So those examples that Xuan Hua gave, he he tried to let maybe at that time the listener or cultivator understand that you do all these things that are not beneficial, that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, whether it's subtle or gross. He used the word, you give away your blessing or your blessing diminish. But as far as I understand, it's not like that. You entangle yourself with that type of karmic, that's it. Means that is the karmic you create. It's not that you can diminish your whatever that you have cultivated or what, it's all recorded. You cannot actually gain and loss. Whatever you gain, you can lose it. No, these are karmic. Manifested means manifested. Good and bad accumulated. The summation of it is in your nature. When there is condition for it to manifest or condition the karmic friction, then it will manifest. That's why karma is like that. Without condition, nothing arises. But when there is condition, it will automatically manifest. That's why I say avoid condition. Avoiding the condition need wisdom and understanding. You need to have the sensitivity of mindfulness, awareness and understanding to see all the signs. And you must have the parami, the perfection, the extensive exposure or understanding to understand all this. And then only you can mitigate the karmic when they arise. And the law of karma is very funny. When it fails to have power over you, then it reverses itself. Very strange. But if it continues to haunt you and you cannot understand and wake up or become more negative, then it will continue to haunt you further until you wake up. Until you say enough is enough, then you change. So karmic is not what non-cultivator develop as knowledge or understanding. The true cultivator of the way only can understand. So I want to add this part so that maybe you all can develop the understanding. Then we read on a bit more, see what else Shenhua share. Here is another example according to Shenhua. You have all taken refuge with the three jewel or triple gem and bow. He jokingly say, bow to such a fool as me, as your teacher, Shenhua himself. Yeah, why do I say that I'm a fool? It's because I often give rise to affliction, which is a sign of ignorance. Why do I give rise to affliction? I get afflicted when any one of you does not listen to me. See, so this is his way of teaching. When you took refuge, you promised to practice under my guidance. Yet after you take refuge under Shenhua or him, you rejected my teaching and did not follow them. Why did you take a teacher then? I'm not here to fool around with you. If you want to learn Buddha Dhamma, you must do so in earnestness. Don't think you can learn Dhamma with a lackadaisical attitude. Wow, this English word is very long. Consider Dhamma Master Xuanzang, who traveled from China to India to obtain the sutta, and on the way was tormented by demons and faced myriad challenges. He underwent considerable hardship to obtain Buddha Dhamma. Now we can very easily listen to the sutta and study the Buddha Dhamma together because of what he brought back. If you fail to focus on studying the Buddha Dhamma, if you fail to focus on studying the Buddha Dhamma, that shows that you lack virtue and didn't plant good roots. in your past life. Since you do not apply yourself to study the Buddha Dhamma, you make your foolish teacher very upset. So this is Shen Hua's way of putting it. So what he wants you to understand is, compared to Xuan Zang, who has to travel all the way west to receive the teaching and bring them back. And that time no computer, no storage, nothing. He has to learn himself and then bring back the sutta, and come back to China, do the translation, everything. That's how Mahayana come to be when it was carried over to China. And luckily, because of Xuan Zang and Bodhidharma and many other great monks, the teaching was able to be transmitted through the patriarchship, mind to mind transfer. So mind to mind transmission is very important. Then Shen Hua said, I remember saying to my two disciples last year, do a good job, study the Buddha Dhamma and don't give me trouble. If you continue to give me trouble and refuse to study hard, then not only you are failing to support your teacher's Dhamma, you are destroying it. The act of destroying the Dhamma bear consequences that are so dangerous that they could not be described in full. Therefore, if you cause trouble to a monastery or create problems to a triple gem, means Sikhism, you are depleting your blessing and soon you will have none. When your blessings are gone, you will most certainly not succeed in your cultivation. To develop wisdom, one must respect the sutta. Do not think that you develop wisdom only through reading the sutta. After hearing the title of the Surangama Sutra, great master Ziyi, Zize. Why the English translation is different? Zize. The founder of the Tian Tai school bowed every day towards the west where the sutta was found or delivered. He bowed for 18 years, but he had never seen the Surangama Sutta. Upon merely hearing of his title, he bowed to it. In China, great master Zize became awakened upon reading the Dhamma Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. There was also many other Dhamma masters who bowed to the Avatamsaka Sutta, the Dhamma Flower Sutta, and the Surangama Sutta. They would bow to every character of a sutta using an ancient Chinese coin with a hole in the middle to mark their place. They threaded a string to the coin and place it on the sutta. After bowing to each character, they pull the coin to the next character. They bow to every character of the sutta in this way, means paying respect and have gratitude towards those who actually make it available. Some cultivators bow like this for their entire life. Basically, you must be respectful, have gratitude. You can unfold your wisdom by bowing to the sutta as well as by reading them. I will tell you something that is extremely important. Do not let it fall on deaf ear and be forgotten. What is it? You must practice what you know. You cannot just read the sutta and think, I understand the principles already, and let it go at that. You must actually do what the sutta say. Like what I say, make it a living reality. And develop the understanding until it's part of you. You have the embodiment of that teaching. The sutta tell you to get rid of your fault. So you must get rid of your fault. If you don't get rid of your fault, you might as well not study the Buddha Dhamma. The Dhamma teaches us to put others first and get rid of our fault. If you think that you can study the Buddha Dhamma and hold on to your imperfection, you are wrong. Everyone should pay special attention and keep this in mind. I am not joking with you. If you don't get rid of your fault, and if you knowingly violate the rules, then you might as well not study the Buddha Dhamma at all. You are just a loafer among cultivators. Don't go off in the monastery, or else you will certainly fall into the hell rhymes. Also, people who cultivate should watch over themselves and do their best to change their habits and fall. Okay, we have to stop already. Maybe I mark this page here. So we are now continuing our second session. I think last session, Brother Song haven't finished. Yeah, we can get Song to continue. Yeah.
Dear Mrs. Steele, Ogamita, 晚上好. Brother, I'll continue to do the sharing. Okay. 又有一天, after lunch, 我吃饱了以后, 我要 on the way 回 office. Then, 我在, actually 那时候, 我 on the way 回 office 的时候, 马路上很吵, 很多车, then, 哇, 那个, then 我 pass by 那个, 那些 shop block, then 那些也很多人, then 我就这样子走的时候, then 里面就一个, 就一个, Yuniso Manasika 出来, Avijja Pachaya Sankara. The moment 那个这个 words 一出来了以后, 我 immediate recall Baratio 你在 Cameron 讲的 那个 sentence, 你就是讲, 当你有 Sankara 的时候, 你就有 Avijja.
对对对。
哇, 这个 这个 statement 很 clear 的 impact 我。
Sadhu.
Then at that times, 我第一次的 realize 就是 understand Bradley 每次讲的说, 当你有 Universal Manasikara 的时候, 它是 from 你的 heart 这里出来的,
它 manifest by itself, spontaneously 它就跑出来了, the understanding will arise. But it is an understanding connected to your nature, so that one will manifest.
然后我第一次的可以去 feel 到, 哇, 这个 understanding 真的是 from 你的 insight
最重要的, that's why I say nothing free and liberate the mind except wisdom. 你做什么都没有意义 until you can develop the wisdom out of that contemplation or out of that understanding that you have gone through in your meditation. Ultimately, it's the wisdom. If it's not the wisdom, no point. These are just mind state that manifest. It can be fantastic meditation or fantastic manifestation of light or any special mind state that is described in the Surangama Sutta. No matter how fantastic it is, it's just a experience, a mind state. It's not wisdom. And it cannot awaken a living being. So it's just like psychic magic. So what? You can levitate and fly and read mind and do all those things. Does it give you the wisdom to be free from suffering so that you can live life, so that you are not affected by whatever situation that arises in life? That is the real wisdom that is needed to understand life and live life. Not all the fantastic magic that you can do. Very good.
过后, then 我就开始, 开始的, 我发现到, 我对这个八正道, 的这个 teaching, 很像你的 understanding 是不一样,
不一样的,
这个八正道, 这个 noble effort path, 当我在 recall, 在 contemplate 的时候, 你的 heart 这里有感觉,
对,
你有感觉是说, 诶, 这个东西, like, how to say, 就是说, 它很像, living 的, 跟你有感觉, 不像以前这样, 哦, 你只是听罢了, 哦, 八正道是, teaching, or like, 他只是在 knowledge one，
杀掉
了。But 这一次 after 了最近，我感觉到这个八寸刀很像在你的 heart 里，它是 living 的。
Yeah, living 的 ，it become a living embodiment inside you， where you have stabilized the understanding until you can manifest it， means it has become a living reality。So this one is the wisdom which actually protects the form and mind。That's why the Buddha said。Very clearly in the fourth noble truth, if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Means, like I always explain, if you are a cultivator, whatever you do in the name of meditation, it doesn't bring you back to the cultivation of the noble eightfold path, so that you can have this embodiment of this noble eightfold path understanding in you.That is not the teaching as taught by the Buddha. And that is not the meditation or wisdom that the Buddha is trying to tell you. So if you do all the funny like mind state or special experience of meditation, then you have not come back to the cultivation and perfection of the Noble Eightfold Path.You are not the Arya that the Buddha is trying to share as teaching for the cultivator of the way. Because ultimately, you must have the Noble Eightfold Path in you in order to have the Unisopmanasikara or wisdom to enable you to free from suffering. Then if you check the Noble Eightfold Path, every path factor is very noble.That's why it's a noble quality that make you noble one or enlightened one. You are very noble in your right view, right understanding of all the laws that governs life and existence. Without that, you cannot live life. You cannot understand life. Then with that, you still need to perfect your right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Means how you actually arise your thought, how you manifest as a,human being, how you conduct yourself in terms of relationship with fellow living being, environment, nature, and everything. That's why from right view, you need to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action to communicate. Then the right understanding to live life means you have the embodiment of the other noble eightfold path factor. Otherwise, you cannot live life. You need to be mindful.Ever mindful, then develop the samadhi to realize the wisdom. And the wisdom will support your first Noble Eightfold Path factor again to make it more perfect, more perfect. Then when your wisdom become more perfect, your virtue come in. Right thought, right speech, right action come in. Then you will know how to live life. That's a right livelihood. The whole thing is all interconnected.That's why it's very powerful. And this realization is very good because you are going through this phase that let you understand that every phase of progress, you become different. The understanding become different. That's why when my nature went through after 1989, then 9 months later when my mundane mind collapsed, that's why I saw all this manifestation, the collapse of the mundane mind.Then the manifestation, how the nature inside, the pure awareness nature, which was there all the time, the primordial, like the sun ray shine forth. Because no more cloud, no more all those emotion or whatever that actually prevents that ray from shining forth. So our...Nature inside the pure awareness is the same. Yeah, I said, man can only do one thing at a time. If your defilement obscure your nature, although there, it cannot shine forth on the sun. You are lost in thought. You are trapped in sakayadhiti. You are trapped in the, what they call mundane thinking, mundane activity, mundane emotion.That's why all these are like cloud, prevent the nature from shining forth. Then it manifests to Paticca Samuppada, the phenomenal world of consciousness. So you keep on being deluded by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. The sixth sense or the 18th sense, right? They keep on having power over you. That's why living beings are trapped. They cannot come out of it. They cannot see. But once that mundane mind collapses, because of the wisdom energy, the vibration of the nature becomes so fine until this mundane mind, which is really very gross, cannot withstand that pure energy vibration. That's why it slowly collapses. And I remember it takes 9 months for my mundane mind to collapse. But many things happen before it collapses. Then when it collapsed, when the nature shines forth, all this understanding came back to me. My past cultivation for my spiritual nature, everything. Because you need the condition to inherit and understand all this. That's why after that, I realize a lot of things that I never learned this life, but I understand on, and I can share, and I can deliver them. Yeah. And this is what cultivation is all about. It's really something that is very unique. And you really have to go through, like now you can see, many Kayamita can also do it already. In fact, that day when I was at the dentist, remember, the Dr. Young, she asked me, you know, he said, hey, yeah, he said, your seminar book, he said, and he said, yeah, Bangkok one, where I gave him many years ago. Then he recalled. Then after that, he asked me, he said, there is one question that I've been curious, he said, based on what you have described and told me, is it? Maybe you know, is it? You have the understanding, the realization. But how many of those who follow you can develop understanding like you? So he expect me to say hardly any. You know? He was so surprised when I told him the last few years, so many develop the progress. It means this one is not only I can do. You know? Anybody who, like the Buddha said, everybody can do one nature. But the Buddha nature is there. And the only thing you need to understand is the thing that obscures that nature, you must remove it. Understand? And what is the thing that obscures your nature? Your mundane thinking, your mundane emotion, born of delusion, wrong view, wrong thought. All these are the sakkayaditti and avijja that actually block and stir your mind and make you heedless, deluded, confused. And that is not life. That is hell, suffering. But when you have the understanding, the clarity already, all this delusion no more, then you see things as they are. You awaken. That understanding dawns upon you and you become different. And the transformation transform you and make you different. Then your understanding become more and more. Like now your progress, you're going through that phase which is very beautiful. Then after that you will understand more. Then it will lead to the mundane mind later on will also collapse. Then that phase, when you progress, you become very different. Then all the words that you continue to listen from the sutra or the sharing become very clear and very different. That's why as you progress, your understanding also develops. And because this understanding develops, when it has reached that level for you to understand the important understanding or pointer, you will understand one. Like now you will understand. How come now all those words that I share at the retreat, the Cameron Highland retreat and all the classes, how come last time you cannot get it because you are not at that level of cultivation yet? And now you have gone through this one, you start to understand how Yoniso Manasikara manifests and how now you come to know this Noble Eightfold Path is actually the embodiment of Yoniso Manasikara. When you have the wisdom perfected, then this Noble Eightfold Path can be cultivated. You need the wisdom to be there to have the right view. And the right view will condition the right thought, right spirit. But you need to cultivate it. That's why this Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. It's not like the first Noble Truth. This Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood. Understanding is not important. The emphasis of the second turning is this Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. That's why it has to become a part of you, embodiment. So you know right thought, no use on. You cannot apply it, manifest it, and allow your nature to be the embodiment of it. Means you must have that thing cultivated. Then only it can become a part of you. Then it can be a living reality. Otherwise, it's impossible. That's why you look at the teaching, everything that the Buddha taught is very precise on. Even the three turning, especially the second turning, every noble truth, different emphasis. And this noble effort to be cultivated or not, and like I explained many times, the whole of the noble effort power is a very wide field of cultivation. To perfect it, not easy. Even after 89, after I realized all this, I also need to cultivate it and perfect it. That's why when I went to Japan, I tried to help one classmate. Then when I was there, they also teach this Noble Eightfold Path to help people cure their suffering. Then I realized their teaching method was very good, very systematic. Then based on the short pointer, I should have actually write it down. Because they don't allow you to take back their note. It's like their propriety ownership. That one make money. The people have to pay. And a lot of people who suffer, they go there and realize many of them recover. But to different extent, based on what you understand. But what he relayed, he followed the important Noble Eightfold Path led by the Four Noble Truths. Like the first Noble Truth or Dukkha, he will teach you. Then the cause of arising of suffering, he will also teach you. Then that cessation, he will not teach you so fast. But he teach you how to apply the Noble Eightfold Path to overcome your problem. That one is the turnaround. Then he said, if you apply this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the enlightenment, which is the realization of that Nibbana, this is it. Then all your problems, no more. Awakening and all that. Then when I was there, they teach you how to actually develop. Of course, their right view was not so elaborate. But they were very elaborate when it come to right thought. No? Right speech, right action. All. So they teach you how to develop the communication. All that. Then when I was there, I just from the pointer, I reflected, contemplated. Then I developed my own understanding. Then at that time, I remember, after I come back, I become very different. My Noble Eightfold Path, especially the right view I already have, but the right thought, right spirit, right action, I expanded on it. And a lot of things came out. I should have written it down, but I didn't write it down, because at that time I was thinking, no need, because whatever is known is already known. But if I have written it down, it will help you all, because I can use the same format to share and teach. But I only attended that trip, that Noble Eightfold Path, I think for a few days, I think. But I think essentially it was that 3-4 days at the workshop. But somebody got a problem that I need to resolve. So in between, I came out of the thing. But even I go in, come out, I saw the pointer. Then I went back. I lie down in the room. The room is really like 5-star hotel. I just reflect on them late. Then I actually make a note of what those things are. Then I remember after that, I come back. I continue to stabilize it. That's why at that time, the Noble Eightfold Path Factor, I was able to develop it. Then Sati Samadhi, I already very skillful. So that one, I no need to like, is to be cultivated. Well, I already cultivated. Well, my Sati leading to Samadhi, I already. The only thing I need to develop is right view is already there, but right thought, right speech, right action, and right life. And that one is for living. You need to really cultivate it. And this Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. That one is the very important pointer. That's why from there, I did it. That's why after that, I keep on emphasizing, whatever meditation you do, if it doesn't take you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Okay? You continue. Sadhu.
Sadhu Bharatiya, 刚才你的 explanation 让我了解，我就在想，为什么这个 Eightfold Noble Path 的这一个 words 哦，这样有 meaningful， 一直 stand up 在我的 heart 这一边。所以刚才你在讲说，你一定要有这个 understanding 哦，我才马上 record 到哦，我的这一些 Yoniso Manasikara 都是 pointer direct to 那个 wisdom 那个 understanding
啊。
但是我 go through 了这么样多的那个啊，有人说嘛，那是卡拉了以后，这个啊，八正道它才慢慢的
become clear to you 啊，它带你回来那个八正道啊。That's why I say whatever meditation you do, if you don't develop the wisdom that take you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. 比如这个八正道啊 ，it will end all suffering 啊 ，just like 我 share with you all 啊。Whoever got any problem, first Noble Truth related, you apply Noble Eightfold Path, the Dhamma way, which is Noble Eightfold Path, it will solve it. And this one, root off, solve the whole thing completely, not temporary. That's why Noble Eightfold Path very powerful.
所以 Brother, 以前你是每次在讲这个 Noble Eightfold Path 的时候，我听起来你讲你明白，把它又很像哦，
那一段你明白那一段哈，因为你还哈、你还没有修到 the higher understanding， 但是你联系不到了，但是 Dhamma is like that one 哦，不好像功夫啊，你不敢教到完啊，怕你的徒弟比你厉害 ，Dhamma 不能哦 ，Dhamma is the other way around one 哦。Whatever the teacher, if he want to teach you, he can teach you everything. But how much can you understand and receive depend on your cultivation. So if your cultivation is at that level, you cannot penetrate on. So a lot depends on the individual, the path, and how you develop the parami. Then from there, you make the aditana aspiration. Then some can progress very fast. But no matter how fast you progress, because like I said, what my nature went through, I know one. And all the spiritual nature perfection, it's not so easy on. It's just like what I explained to you all earlier on. I said, the thought-based cultivator are so many. Means what? They have a even know that they got two mind. They haven't even differentiated between the mundane mind and the true mind. And even after they realize that, to find out that the mundane mind arises from the true mind, that itself is very difficult. You don't have a real teacher to teach you, you can be lost for many, many lives. No. 你的修行啊，真的不能 penetrate 就不能 penetrate 啊，特别。Then after, let's say you realize that is just the beginning, no? And you have to train your mind to develop awareness-based meditation. No? And that phase is going to take you very long. No? And when you stabilize that, you must know what direct seeing is. You must know how to silence your mind, how to contemplate, how to reflect, and develop the three turning wisdom. And all these are major field of cultivation. No? And your mindfulness must develop until so stable until you are most of the time aware and heedful throughout the day. Otherwise, retreat alone you can do is just a part of the training. Life itself, heedful throughout the day. That's why the Buddha said, heedfulness is the power to the devils. The heedful never die. Then after that, the sainthood way may be quite easy. Quite a lot of people will go through, clear. But then, to come to the Bodhisattva way, to do the trust, that false support, even more rare. Then even if you can do it, if without a proper guide and a teacher, even Kayamita, who, let's say, accidentally, after many years, they locate it, let's say, if I don't have the nature to teach, it will take them very long to find out what the gateway is and how to develop it through the trust. But the trust, only cultivator of the way can understand. Then when you locate it, how it manifests, you must have the understanding, no interference from the thought, no. Just let the nature move. Then it open up or no. Then the yin-yang energy melt in there, then it will open up the whole thing and transform from inside. You know. That face is another face. Then it will illuminate that nature. Then after that, it will cause the wisdom to arise until the vibration become very fine. The mundane mind cannot withstand. Then only the mundane mind collapses. You think going through all this, one life, two life, three life, you can do it. Unless you have your path. That's why I say your Kayamita has an affinity to meet my nature and learn all this. You have your path. Otherwise, this teaching cannot be learned on. We are very few people have the understanding to teach this way and share this way. Most of them are thought-based. You can find out for yourself. Because almost throughout the world, everywhere teaching meditation is all thought-based, knowledge-based. And the understanding of what that true mind, the pure mind, the awareness nature, very few cultivators developed under. Even great Mahayana teacher and master, they might have gone through some form of training and developed all this, but they cannot explain to you because this thing is not something that can be explained. The person who go through, even you at that time, as you go through, that's why I told you all, after you had developed it with the so-called Yoniso Manasikara, developed the initial wisdom, I call it the initial wisdom, because it's enough to free your mind to go through the sainthood way, understand, to understand all these things. But all this understanding, you cannot explain to people or no. You cannot teach or no. You cannot share or no. And you don't know how to actually apply to help other people or no. Most of the time you can help yourself, you can free yourself, no. But you cannot see their past, their coming. That's why without the Bodhisattva ways training and extensive experience and understanding, you cannot teach or not technically. Like the Pachika Buddha. they only realize themselves and understand themselves, but they cannot share and teach or not. Very limited. No? That's why you have to go the Bodhisattva way. Then after you go that way and you develop that nature, then only you can teach and share. That's why I say to receive this type of teaching and have this type of understanding is very, very rare. And you all have your parami, otherwise you cannot be here listening and developing the understanding. And cannot be so many kayamita can progress until like that. So a lot of people don't really understand what this thing is. That's why last time I used to hint to you all, later on, in fact, 15 over years ago, I used to tell all those that learn under me, later on, when you will really come to know what my nature is, you will get a shock of your life. I always tell you all that time I only hint to you all, because hardly anybody can understand what this nature has gone through. But now it has reached a phase where you all start to develop the understanding and the sharing and the teaching especially the last few years, it has become so different, and it has accelerated year after year. And now it's like, moving very fast, like meant to be, all this teaching must come out. Very good. So you better continue. 3 more minutes.
突然间觉得这个八字道很 wonderful，很奥妙，就是这个八个factor，但是所有的 cultivation， 所有的 understanding， 所有的 Buddha Dharma 都在这个八个 pointer 里面，所以它 summarize， 但是以前。 现在你会觉得哇，他很有感觉，当你听到的时候是很有感觉，是一直很像在 touch 你的 heart，跟你以前完全不一样。Because
like what I share earlier on, this today sharing, I say true virtue come from what? Wisdom, isn't it? Without wisdom, you cannot. So this. Initial wisdom, which is yoniso manasikara, when they manifest, then when you stabilize it, this is the one that enable you to have the right view and right understanding to cultivate the noble eightfold path factors that follow. That's why without wisdom, there can be no real virtue. Understand? Your right thought can never be right thought unless you have wisdom. That's why after that I realized to cultivate right thought is so easy. To cultivate right speech, right action is so easy. It's only the words. Understand now? Because you already have the wisdom. That's why without the right view, the right understanding, or the unison manasikara coming in, you cannot cultivate noble eightfold path. Cannot move on the direction. Because right thought, right according to who? Right according to the individual, that is not the real right thought. Even right speech, right action. Well, to you, it's right, but relative. But the one based on wisdom one is right according to the Dhamma way or no. I mean, no negativity or no. No karmic negativity. Nothing can bamboozle back one. That's why I say, Xuanhua has his own understanding. But based on my understanding, you must have wisdom. Before the wisdom come, you cannot cultivate all the virtue one. The real virtue born of wisdom. Without wisdom, there is no real virtue. And this I have repeated many times in the early days. So, 现在就慢慢出来了. That's why you realize everything that I share is like pointer or sentence. But they are actually unique code. All of them are unique code. And when you understand, you explain it, and you elaborate on it, it becomes so complete and so beautiful. Even when I say without wisdom, there is no real virtue. Now only the meaning come out. Otherwise, you are not ready. I explain also no use. But now with your understanding and you are ready, the rest will also understand. That's why now I bring it up. Then you match the thing. All along, 讲过了的, share 过了的, in fact, you go to the retreat. Many, many years, many rounds, this thing has been. But at that time, how can you understand? Without wisdom, there is no real virtue. There are a lot of people who won't believe, what you mean, virtue? Virtue means your goodness, your wholesomeness, like my sincerity. I'm very sincere. Without wisdom, you think you're sincere. Sincerity according to you, 没有用的. 你的那个 mental delusion not rooted out, the avijja not rooted out, everything you do got the evil root behind you without you knowing it. Sometimes very subtle inside there. 看不到就是看不到的. That's why you need wisdom. And nothing free your mind or liberate your mind except wisdom. And I keep on repeating, only wisdom free. So that 你们不会给他抓进去那个 psychic feel. Because a lot of meditators like to listen to fantastic, what they call special meditation. Like you can do magic, all those things. You can go levitate, travel out, and roam the heavenly, right? Then can tell you a lot of story out there. But if it doesn't lead to wisdom, no point. Well, that is not the way to meditate. To meditate is to develop the heedfulness or the awareness nature within, stabilize it to insight in the phenomena, to awaken and to realize the wisdom, and use that wisdom to actually help you free your mind. Then when your mind free, you can use it to cultivate noble eightfold path and perfect yourself until you can understand life and live life perfectly. That's why that become living Dhamma, a living reality. It will manifest. 很好, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. We will share merits. Then after that, we will transfer merit. Then we will do the usual closing mic puja and we will end. Akasata cha pumata deva naga mahindika penyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tuloka sasana etawata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sape deva anumodantu sape sampati sidia idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo devo asatu kalena sasu sampati hetu cha Veto bhavatu loko cha Aja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can now mindfully pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end. Thank you for attending and participating. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.